Good afternoon, Dominica. Good afternoon. And welcome to the Talk on the Block. I have not seen Lennox Linton just yet, but I just suspect, based on a telephone call that I received earlier, that he prefers to give the information to the entire media, and a news conference has been called for tomorrow at this time, 1 o'clock. When Mr. Lennox Linton will speak to the $1.2 billion in terms of the way forward and other, I'm being told, very pertinent issues. But again, good afternoon, welcome. There are many other things to talk about, so we'll do just that. I want to start off this afternoon with this very moving statement there from trauma surgeon Dr. Dale Dangben. Wanted to share this message with Dominica on Dr. IP. Oh, okay. Well, Doc, as I said to you, I wasn't too sure, but Lennox Linton is in the house. But let's share this message all the same.
I wanted to speak on the issue of Dr. Irvin Pascal in Dominica, you know, ENT surgeon who no longer has privileges at the main hospital. And the question is why? Two points, right? One is, why would the people allow that and not open your eyes and see that Dr. Pascal not having privileges at the hospital really affects them even more profoundly than Dr. Pascal, right? And two, why is the power that be willing to sacrifice the people just to stay in power? Think about that, right? All this seems very counterintuitive. People talk about the dark forces, etc. No, it's not about that. This is about simple greed and simple power. We are willing to sacrifice babies, die over politics. Dr. IP is of strength. Dr. IP stayed in Dominica after he specialized training and gave his entire medical career to Dominica. Gave it all. And as soon as he turned 60, he was told, no more, right? Despite all his commitment to Dominica and the people. But why haven't the people gotten up and speak up about Dr. IP? We do talk. We call radio. Right? We say what we have to say. But there is a giant in medicine in Dominica. That man should be held up as an accomplished ENT surgeon. Instead, we put him down and beat him down after his service to Dominica. And you the people are sticking around and taking that. Right? Your child has a foreign body stuck in the nose or the mouth. And Dr. IP does not have the privileges to go and service that. Who's gonna die? You fall and you break your nose and you're bleeding from your nose profusely. Who's gonna take care of you? See, these are the things that we as a people must understand. And I like Dr. Pascal's stance, and I see that revolutionary African spirit coming out in him, right? He always had it. I respect the brother. I've had dinner with him 3 times. and his depth of knowledge and compassion for his people is deep. Where are the other doctors? Where is Dr. St. Luce? Where is Dr. Irvin McIntyre? Where is Ruby Blanc? Everybody's silent. Silent? Is it? Are you silent because you're bored? Or you don't have the nerve and the strength and the fortitude to stand up and defend someone, one of your colleagues who've given so much and who's now being condemned? That is the thing that we need to talk about. These are the things that we need to talk about. Because in I listened to Dr. IP and I almost wanted to cry because it is profound. It's baffling, right? The question number two about people trying to stay in power, it shows, it's self-explanatory why these people want to stay in power, right? But you, the people, reflect on your health, right? You've lost your wealth. And I'm not even talking about financial wealth. I'm talking about what Dominica is, Dominica can be, and what it was in terms of the deep history. That's been stolen, right? We have to open up our eyes and our mind and see what's going on, right? We're sitting there screaming for politics while our family and friends are dying. Think about that. I could talk so much more about the medical aspect of it and healthcare, but I'm not going to go into that. If you all don't wake up and you listen to the rhetoric of hatred that's been spread in Dominica, and you sitting there until you are ill or your family is ill to wake up, then it's on you. It's on you. Okay? Think about that, people. You need to wake up. I stand with Dr. Pascal. I support healthcare. I am a physician. I took that oath, right? Do no harm to help people, right? But the people need to wake up. The people need to wake up. And Brother Pascal, I salute you and what you stand for and your power in speech, but now it's power to action. One love.
Very moving message there by Dr. Dale Dangleben and Dr. Irvin Pascal. I did say, you know, given the message I was told earlier that Mr. Lennox Linton would not be in the house, but he's here. As I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he showed his face, given the promise. But Mr. Linton is in the house. Of course, we heard of the big promise that some statement would have been made, read the $1.2 billion. And Mr. Linton and his team, a few of them, just returned from St. Martin and Antigua, two very big, big meetings. But not surprising, given the impact that I think these meetings had there for the weekend, that I heard Tony Astafan on the radio. Can you believe that he went to St. Martin and spoke to the people in St. Martin on the radio? Now, the people of St. Martin are asking one question. Before I introduce Mr. Lennox Linton, I will tell you what the people of St. Martin are asking at this time. Let me allow you to hear their spokesperson.
You know, people, I must laugh. You know, I contact Tony Astafan myself personal this morning, and all I doing is laughing, because I was talking to Tony Astafan concerning his interview last night, and I was questioning him concerning his interview. And I said to him, would he like to debate Mr. Linton on the interview that you had on the same radio station and debate the same topic that you was interviewing with? Would you like to debate Mr. Linton on it one-on-one on the same radio station? And his response was, boss, I'm not interested in that. So I was like, but my brother, you give an interview and it always have two sides of the story. And we in St. Martin, we would like to know the other side of the story. He hung up his phone.
All right, so the people of St. Martin want to know the other side, but Mr. Asafan, it's apparent, don't want people to know the other side. So it's about few and hate. But I'm sure the people from St. Martin, as they heard on the weekend, will continue to hear the other side. Mr. Lennox Linton, good afternoon to you. I just thought I would introduce that.
Good afternoon, Matt Peltier. Good afternoon to the people of Concord and Marigot, and good afternoon to the people of Dominica, all of the patriots of this blessed land at home and abroad. You didn't think I was going to be here, right, man?
No. Guess I heard you had a big news conference planned for tomorrow.
We'll be having a news conference tomorrow because the deadline given to the Prime Minister at our meeting earlier this month has passed. The deadline was on the 20th of September. Mm-hmm. We didn't say that we were going to issue a statement shortly after midnight on the 20th of September, but I think people expect us to tell them what's next. What I hope the people have in their mind instead is how we go forward together as people, because this is not my money or this is not Skerrit's money. This money belongs to the people of Dominica. And the finance minister, the prime minister of the country, has a responsibility to account to the people for the people's money. It cannot be that while legitimate questions are being raised about $1.2 billion of the people's money, which Mr. Skerrit validates by saying had he put that money into the budget would have been $2.2 billion and not $1 billion, meaning that he accepts that $1.2 billion of the people's money is somewhere that he knows about, but all he's willing to tell the people is that I use that money to build housing for you through a company called Montreal Management Company. The people want to know, how much housing have you built and what amount of that money remains, because it is not in the people's treasury, it is not in the people's budget, it is not in the people's consolidated fund. You're holding it outside of the state coffers, outside of the coffers of the state where they belong. So why are you not saying anything about it? Instead of you talking directly to the people truthfully, honestly, you have your henchmen going trolling members of the United Workers Party all around, wherever they go, and responding with nasty comments and all sorts of prejudicial and baseless criticisms just to make them look bad and to create an atmosphere where in Dominica only one person or one set of people can be responsible for the governance of Dominica over the next 5 years. I mean, it's crazy. And we in Dominica must come to a common understanding that that has no place in our civility. It has no place in our civility. And we must deal with it for what it is. But Matt, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we will use the press conference format to address the nation on this very important matter of the missing $1.2 billion and what we believe are the next steps that we the people can take, not the United Workers Party, the people of Dominica, all the people of Dominica, whether they are in the Labour Party, whether they are in the United Workers Party, whether they are in the Freedom Party or some other political party. This is not about color. This is not about red or blue or green. This is about money that belongs to all the colors of Dominica. And all the colors of Dominica must have an interest in knowing where that money is, what has happened to it, and how do we retrieve it and put it to good use. There are people running around Dominica shouting, well, the money is right in front of all, it's in housing. Yeah, okay. Some houses have been built. Some housing complexes have been built and others are in construction. The experts in the field tell us that in 2018, 2019, the year in which we are looking for this $1.2 billion that went wherever Mrs. Skerrit put it, the experts tell us there is no way that $1.2 billion was spent on housing, public housing in Dominica. It was more like maybe maximum $200 million. That leaves a whole $1 billion, a whole $1,000 million somewhere else. We want to know about it. And when you ask the question, people are getting upset, but it is Mrs. Skerrit who has admitted that had he put the money, had he not dealt with this so-called housing option in the way he had dealt with it, then the money would have been in the budget and the budget would be 2.2, not $1 billion. We want the money in the state coffers. We want it in the treasury, because notice that the only explanation Mr. Skerritt has offered so far has to do with the housing that is being done on the Montreal Management Company, to the point that Mr. Skerritt has introduced in explanation what he calls the housing option. But as far as we know today, there is no housing option. It is not on any website, not even on the Montreal Management website, is there any housing option. It has never been officially announced by the government. All the government has spoken about consistently, based on the legal arrangements for citizenship by investment in Dominica, is a economic diversification fund option where monies are contributed directly to the government, paid into the coffers of the government. And the other one is a real estate option where money goes into an approved investment, and separate and apart from that, some fees are paid into the government. But the economic development fund option, the so-called government fund, the contribution fund,
mm-hmm.
is all we have apart from the real estate. Mr. Skerritt tells us that his housing option, which does not exist, which exists for himself and Montreal Management alone, is like the fund option, but it has some real estate aspects to it. And there's none. All Mr. Skerritt has done, he has arranged with Anthony Hayden to be able to use the fee structure of the government fund, the government contribution, the government fund, what is called the economic diversification fund, the direct contribution to government. He has been able to use that fee structure, $100,000 for a single applicant. If that single applicant has a spouse, he'll pay an additional $75,000, so $175,000 for an applicant with his spouse. And if the applicant and spouse have two children under 16, is it 18? Yeah, they will pay $200,000 for the package of four people, a main applicant and three dependents, $200,000. Right? That is what there is. Normally under that fund contribution, that government fund, the money comes into the treasury. Mr. Skerritt's housing now, his special sweetheart deal with Anthony Hayden of Montreal Management, brings that money, takes that money away from the coffers of the state and into a private account, a private fund. He calls it an escrow account. So we have asked for information on this escrow account. How much is in it? How much was spent from it, etc., etc.? Mrs. Skerritt cannot answer the question.
No answer.
Good. Let me point out something this afternoon. And this is where I want the people who jump up every time we speak and they run on radio stations all around the world to push their propaganda and their hate. I want them to listen to me carefully. And if you're not going to take notes properly, then record. Okay? Record me. There's this story about the housing option and fees charged under the housing option. Let me go back, Matt, to 2018. October 2018. And in October 2018, the Citizenship by Investment Unit of the Government of Dominica issued a letter to all Dominica Citizenship by Investment agents. It is dated October 11th, 2018. It says, "Dear partners, it is by now common knowledge that the market has seen tremendous transformation over the last year. The way the industry is promoted by some agents has taken a tone that we in the Dominica CBI think is bringing negative attention to the industry. This, in our view, threatens our very existence." Several agents are using marketing techniques, including promoting by text blast, prominent display of passport images, and deliberately misrepresenting the cost of investments to make their offers seem lower than the official government fees mandated by law. I know you don't listen well enough, Matt, so I'm going to read this part again. Several agents are deliberately misrepresenting the cost of investment to make their offers seem lower than the official government fees mandated by law. And it goes on to say, the fees of the Dominica CBI program is mandated by the law and regulations of Dominica and does not provide or make allowances for fees other than what is prescribed by law. So this afternoon I'm going to raise a question. The question I'm raising this afternoon is, under which law or under which regulation are the fees being charged by Montreal Management Company under Mr. Skerritt's so-called housing option? Under what law are those fees authorized? Because all we have so far, if you look at the SRNO, the Statutory Rules and Orders number 23 of 2017, that, by the way, came into force on September the 1st, 2017, for a period of 12 months, which means the sun set on that SRNO on August the 31st, 2018, last year. I would think at that point it would have reverted back to the original fee structure, which was slightly higher. But if you were to use that, because that is the last legal authorization we have seen for fees under the Economic Diversification Fund option. Number one, $100,000 for the single main applicant. $175,000 for main applicant and spouse. $200,000 for the main applicant and up to three qualifying dependents. Family of four then.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other category tells us $25,000 for any qualifying dependent of the main applicant other than the spouse. Okay? So anything up from that family of four, you're paying an additional $25,000. Number five, number six, number seven, number eight, an additional $25,000. So for the family of four, the price by law is $200,000 for the family of four. It was brought to my attention within the last 24 hours that the families of four applying for citizenship in Dominica that have been offered these citizenships for $139,700 by Montreal Management Company.
$139,700.
That is $60,300 below the legal price of the citizenships. And I say legal price because that this price of $200,000 is what is in the law of Dominica, meaning the Citizenship by Investment Amendment Regulations of 2017, Statutory Rules and Orders number 23 of 2017. That's what we have. Prior to that, the free structure was a little higher, I think, in some categories. But this is what we know. We know of no law or no SRNO under which Montreal Management can be offering citizenships to a family of four for $139,700. $60,300 below the legal published price for the citizenship in Dominica. Am I clear enough, Matt?
You're very clear.
I want to know, what is the legal authority that Montreal Management has for charging these fees, which are $60,000 below the legal price as published by the government of the Commonwealth of Dominica? So now, back in 2018, the people at the Citizenship by Investment Unit knew well who was selling at discounted prices in the market. They knew it was Montreal Management Company. But they broad brushed all of the agents in the business. Today, Mrs. Skerritt boasts that Montreal Management Company's program, the so-called housing program, which we have not seen in any legislation, which has no legal authorization as far as I'm concerned, he claims that that program is now the most popular program under the CBI umbrella. It is the one making the most money. But that is a program that is exclusive to Montreal Management Company and Roosevelt Skerritt. Nobody else can participate in the housing. And as you see, they are charging whatever they want. They can move from the legal price of $200,000 for a family of four to $139,700 for the same family of four. And you have people running all over the place saying all manner of things about Lennox Linton, because as leader of the opposition, member of the Parliament of the Commonwealth of Dominica, he has raised questions about the integrity and the accuracy of the revenues for citizenship by investment that have come into Dominica in the last financial year. But this is a labor of love, Matt. It's a labor of love for God, for country, and nobody intimidates me.
I heard the senior counselor on St. Martin Radio speaking about, you know, the Prime Minister and Montreal management thinking of taking you to court.
Yeah, but we've heard that.
Legal action.
Yeah, but we've heard that. Court is for everybody, you know. I am pursuing legal action against Anthony Astefan. I'm pursuing legal action against the Prime Minister. Legal action, yeah, the court is for all of us. So if you feel...
But you're not intimidated at all.
No, Matt. If you want to take me to court for saying that you have no legal authority as Montreal Management Company to be charging $139,700 for citizenships that legally cost $200,000 US, then take me to court. Because when you go to court, in order to prove me wrong, you're going to have to present the legal authority, which at this point is hidden from the public. The public has no knowledge of this legal authority. I sit in the Parliament. I have not seen it. I don't know that it exists. So unless there is some special law manufacturing operation that operates in the night, in the dead of night, while people are sleeping, and they can come up with it overnight and they can backdate to whenever date they want, I do not know that there is any legal authority for what Montreal management is doing. If they can present the legal authority, fine. But I haven't seen it at this point. And it is we're supposed to know about it because they have published on the government website these statutory rules and orders that authorize the payment of fees, the fee structure for real estate, for the Economic Diversification Fund option. That's all on the website. What you will not see on the website, either on the government website, citizenship website, or on the citizenship by investment website, or on the Montreal Management Citizenship by Investment website, is anything about a housing option to gain citizenship in the Commonwealth of Dominica. It's either the direct contribution to government, which they call the Economic Diversification Fund, or the real estate. That's all there is.
All right. I'll tell you why. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take some of your phone calls. The leader of the opposition, the United Workers Party, in the house.
Where the money gone? $1,291,000,000. That is what the evidence suggests.
Is the payments of monies by applicants for the purchase of Dominican passports to a private fund an unlawful international transaction?
The Financial Secretary of the Commonwealth of Dominica report a list of, quote, successful applicants under the Citizenship by Investment Program for the period August of 2018 to December of 2018. Five of the first 6 months of the financial year, 2018-2019. 3,961 persons received the passports of Dominica in the five-month period. Our passports are being sold for $100,000 each.
If the answer to the question is yes, then is the movement of those monies from the passport applicant to the private fund a criminal act as per international anti-corruption and anti-money laundering regulations?
So we are going to assume that the average price paid for each of the 3,961 CBI passports sold between August and December of last year was not $100,000, but half of that, $50,000. Multiply now. 3,961 passports at US $50,000 per passport is equal to $198 million or $537.9 million.
If the answer to the question is no, then where is the revenue from the sale of Dominican passports for the other 7 months of fiscal year 2018-2019, which has not been accounted for in the national budget of Dominica?
Well, we didn't sell passports for the 5 months alone. The figure they gave us is not for 5 months, for the whole year. But let us do the math. For the whole year, 5 months, $537 million. Full year, we prorate and we project $1,291 million. $1,291 million. That is what the evidence suggests. How did we end up with only $226 million over $1 billion less?
Either way, is it not time for Dominicans to demand that Roosevelt's carried orders an investigation into the sale of Dominica's passport by Interpol, FBI, Scotland Yard, or the EU Financial Intelligence Unit? Bring back Dominica's passport money now.
Bring back Dominica's passport money now. We already have a telephone call there this time. Hello, people very anxious to talk. Hello.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Linton.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to Matt.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Mr. Linton, I'm good. You know, Mr. Linton, I want to advise you that I want to hope that you are doing your medical checkup as regular as possible. Because we want you here to lead us to that promised land, boss man. You cannot let us see the door and disappear. Make sure you do your regular medical checkup, boss. Because these guys are out there to defeat everybody that come in against them. Everybody that coming up with truth, righteousness, and justice, they will destroy them. Mr. Linton, on that note, based on the revelation that you have brought out there, you're reading clear documents. There's no SRNR. There's no law that you know of. And if there was one, they would have champion that piece of legislation or that piece of SR document, right?
Absolutely.
I believe on that note, Dominica and Dominicans should call for either the return of the money or ask Roosevelt Skerry to surrender his position, or that we should make a report to the chief of police to bring in the Minister of Finance, the financial secretary.
You know, the thing is, caller, I don't know... why it is necessary for all that to happen. Doesn't the police have a responsibility?
Somebody would have to make a report. That is how
somebody had to report to the police?
In Dominica, okay. Yes. That is how it is done in Dominica. But nobody has to make a report when they're taking incitement against people who they believe support the opposition. Nobody makes a report. When Lennox Lawrence went on the radio and incite people, nobody made a report. When Father Thomas went out there...
Hold on. When Lennox Lawrence made his statements about incitement, I made a report to the police. I went to the charge office, and I wrote the commissioner of police about it. Because I felt that I was being threatened.
Carbon will never move once it's against the Cabalists. But he will attack little Hector John that wouldn't kill a fly. But let me just tell you, I believe we need to bring in the financial secretary, the minister of finance, the even the Montreal people themselves, because they are part of something that is moving right under the microscope, Lennox. We have to have them as suspects. What is happening? But my view is, if Montreal management that just come on the scene can sell passport like codfish, negotiating the price like it's on the market you are, I wonder what price Alec Lawrence selling is. Because he's the man that has to secure the re-election of Roosevelt Kerry. He's the man that's fighting against every piece of document we bring in, everything we try in terms of bringing electoral reform. Alec Lawrence saying no openly and shooting it down. So I wonder how much his passport is sold for. And that's a question for Mr. Lawrence. Because if Montreal management can say, look, God bless, what you get, take my brother. Just negotiate it. Put our money on it and sell. It's crawfish we're selling. Rus Dominicans must stand up. Lennox Linton, I urge you to keep on doing that good work and stay focused, my brother, to take us to the promised land, to bring Dominica back to stability, the days of honest governance. Not the days, the black days that we're in today, where politicians are seeing is their millions. I know you're an honest man, and I know you believe in truth and righteousness, and I urge you to keep on pressing. Don't let them distract you. Let Tony Stephens will attack you. That is a Tony Stephens is a non-entity. All you have to do is put McIntyre picture in his face. Once you expose McIntyre picture, he sees it like a pit bull. He gets scared. The new thing is, besides coming to do his matters in Dominica, the man has said clearly, he's not coming back. He cannot be giving people power to use against him. Instead of going out there and look for young things, is my thing you're attacking? He's not giving nobody power. So we have to press on. Do not let Tony Estevan distract you. Do not let any one of them and their baseless attack put you off track, my brother. I believe you're right on track. You are a man sent by God, and you will deliver, Dominica.
All right, caller, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's take another call there, 146. In the afternoon, 146. Before I move on, a lawyer, prominent one there, is writing this. Why did the government collect the money and pay the company for the work done? Why does the company have to hold our money? Matt, is that what you would do for someone who is coming to build your house for you? You will let them sell your produce from your farm, hold your money, and not to tell you how much they earned from the sale of produce? Then they build your house for you. Just so?
Yeah, but you see, the way it operates, the agents are supposed to charge for the citizenship what the government decides by law must be charged.
Right.
And then the agents, and then that money is supposed to come into the government coffers.
That's how it works. It should work.
That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work.
Right.
So here's a question now, and the question is for the other players, not just the finance minister or the prime minister, it's for the financial secretary as well. It's for the head of the citizenship by investment unit as well. When the advertised legal price of the citizenship is $200,000 for a family of four, how does that family of four get passports or citizenship in Dominica for $139,700? And you don't say anything about it. You don't ask any question about it. You're raising a big hue and cry in a letter dated the 11th of October 2018 to agents telling them it is not acceptable to be charging less than the government price, which is the legal price for the citizenship.
That's in 2018.
In 2018. Just in 2018. And you outline these legal prices for the avoidance of doubt. The legal prices are in the correspondence from Emmanuel Nanton dated the 11th of October 2018. And these prices are exactly what I just told you from the SRNO number 23 of 2017. 100,000, 175,000, 200,000 for the family of four. Right? How now with this fee structure, this legal fee structure for a family of four to get the passports of Dominica, can an agent be charging $139,700 for the $200,000 deal, a discount of $60,300, and you collecting the money, you responsible for making sure people get their passports when the money has been paid, and it doesn't raise a red flag? You don't ask any question. Mrs. Kerridge says this is the most popular option now, you know, the housing option. So under this housing option, the government's legal price is being discounted by the agent.
60,000 plus.
By 60,000 plus on the deal for a family of four. And it causes no concern to those responsible. It causes no concern to Mrs. Kerridge. It causes no concern to the financial secretary. The only concern they have is that Lennox Linton raised this issue about the missing $1.2 billion, which Mrs. Kerridge agrees with.
On the telephone, hello. Oh, boy.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you.
And good afternoon to the opposition leader.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Matt, I'm reading, I'm listening, and I'm hearing. But, Matt, the Layu River Hotel in the St. Joseph constituency, that was also bamboozled by our same passport sale and by some foreign agent. But Matt, hear that now. The opposition leader spoke about some court matters, whatever. Mm-hmm. Matt, we live in a complete different dispensation. You see the young generation that hungry for change,
uh-huh,
and that want a future. I want to tell them this time around, if they feel the man, if they feel the copaweso, if they feel that Dominica, our country, my Dominic is their own, pass it on and they will see what time it is in Dominica. We ready. We fighting till death. Thank you.
All right. And more telephone calls there before we take a quick break. Hello. Don't forget a big news conference tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to my
good afternoon
political leader.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Once I hear your voice, I'm okay. And as Hillary said, make sure you check yourself. Because you're in the door already. All we have to do is sanitize, bring the chair, make new chairs and everything. So don't you worry, because you're not going to sit on that same chair. But I want to ask a question. I'm asking a question. Do you know if the certain supermarket in Roseau has been paid for all their groceries? Because that was one of them also. I'm just asking the question. I'm right on target. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Hello. Talk to me. 152. Hi. Yes.
Hey, yeah. Blessings to you, sir.
To you, sir.
Honorable blessings to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just give thanks, my brethren. Your effort, your sacrifice, or even sacrifices, and everybody affiliated with you are highly appreciated. All I can do is take you serious into my private moment and the secret presence of the Almighty Most High Creator, because I know it is not easy. I give thanks to Hillary for reminding you. And my brethren, I didn't want to say too much. Too much have already been said. I just want to give thanks. Blessings.
All right, blessings to you, blessings to you. All right, 4493095. Hello.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing, man?
I'm all right. Oh, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, man. Matt, do you know that Montreal Management is a Dominican registered company?
I'm learning that now.
Yeah, it's a Dominican registered company. I wonder if they're paying taxes to our treasury. All the money they making and all the houses they building, because they paying a lot of taxes. I hope so.
Well, as I said to you, I don't know that. Maybe we'll have to do a little research.
Okay. I didn't ask you to know that. You know, I'm just saying. I hope they are paying taxes in Dominica.
The 2016 April 2016 company.
Yep.
Now the interesting thing, and I'm happy Trevor Johnson is on the phone, because this is a gentleman who has a deep interest in these matters and has spent a lot of his time trying to figure out what is going on. Because the question I just raised about the official legal price of the citizenship for a family of four being $200,000, but Montreal management selling it for $139,700 and it not raising any red flags in the system suggests that something is going on. And I want to say today, it seems to me that this money, this $139,700 for a family of four, is not coming into the treasury of Dominica, or else those responsible for the receipt of the money against the legal fee structure for the passports would have been able to say that something is wrong. And in the very same way as Emmanuel Nanton wrote a letter in 2018, October 11th, talking about who was selling below what the government offered and so on, and that was illegal, somebody would have said something by this time. But I believe, based on what is in front of me now, that these monies, these discounted fees, heavily discounted fees for citizenships in Dominica that are being charged under Mrs. Skerritt's so-called housing option are not making their way into the treasury of Dominica or into the consolidated fund or into the bank account at National Bank for some reason or the other. They're being held overseas. And that is why it may well be that the financial secretary has no clue about these monies.
All right, on the telephone, yes, another telephone call there at 1:55. We'll take a break in a minute before we wrap it up. Hello.
Yes. Good afternoon, family.
Good afternoon to you,
good afternoon.
Family.
Good afternoon, brother. Yo, Brother Hillary, I heard you loud and clear. I just wanted to address something you said in regards to Lennox and being the deliverer. Lennox been doing his work, you know. From day one, he been doing his work. The problem why Lennox cannot hold long Roosevelt's care, because Lennox doesn't get the support he need. He doesn't get the support he need. We have a whole bunch of talkers, but very few actors. And that is the issue that's holding back the movement. But I know the call is going to be issued. So I want you, brother, to start doing more mobilization on the ground. It's not Lennox that's going to do it. It's we that's going to do it. The call is going to be issued. And we need the patriots to come out this time around and support that call. Support that call, because Lennox has been doing his work. He has been doing his work. We need right now to give him that vote of confidence to bring Roosevelt Skerritt to where he's supposed to be. So that's what I want to call on you and the others. Do the thing this time around. Do the thing, because Lennox has been doing the work. And what has been holding back his effort is the support of the patriots. The support of the patriots. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to you too. 1:56, hello.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
And good afternoon to Mr. Linton.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Okay. So, Matt, what is it? It have the real CBI program, and it have a Shadel Mui CBI program. It have a speakeasy CBI program, you know, like when, you know, you have the shops that have their license to sell liquor, and you have people selling their liquor speakeasy and country at their home without no license. Eh? what that is what I'm making out of that. It has a Shadel Mui speakeasy CBI program run by one person alone. SOS calling FBI, MI6, and Scotland Yard. May that say that. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. I think we have to take about two more phone calls before we take a break there for the afternoon. Hello, don't forget again, a special news conference in my time slot tomorrow from 1 o'clock. Hello, talk to me. The opposition.
Back and forth, but I want to clear the air.
Yes.
And that caller just called, man. I don't know who the caller is. I have been on that line too long.
Okay.
People come from the front line, so he shouldn't use my name when he talk about people
from the front line. You're on the front. Yeah. I should protect you on that one. I should protect. I agree.
Bringing out people like Ali Collins and the other guy is scared of. So tell the caller, don't use me as the example.
All right, so my friend Zed, don't use Hillary, okay? Don't use Hillary as your scapegoat. In 150. Hello, talk to me. He's on the front line all the time, yes. What's that?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to the incoming prime minister.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Okay, so I just have to brought something to your attention. You know, because in the Bible, right, Pharaoh wanted to destroy Moses. And then God allowed Pharaoh to even maintain and all Moses needs until he gets into big man. So my point is, I'm trying to bring to you, you know, you are a blessed person, and you are leaded and directed by God. This is the reason why Roosevelt Scarry himself had to invite you in the political realm to destroy him, because he is not honest, he's dishonest, he's following his father's footsteps, and then you are the chosen one, and the only one, in fact, who is capable of stopping him from his track. And may God continue to bless you the next prime minister.
Thank you very much.
Hey, let's a quick comment. Of course, you just came from a very busy weekend there, Antigua, St. Martin. How would you describe this there very quickly?
Awesome. Good afternoon to my people in St. Martin, the St. Martin Team Dominica, Antigua Team Dominica. Gosh, that was some weekend.
You were moved, though.
Oh, yes. It was, you know, just the love, the support, the intensity for change, real change in Dominica. People who live overseas, love their country, understand what is going wrong, and understand what needs to be fixed, cannot be fixed by those who have made it wrong for 20 years. And they want change, they want real change. And it couldn't come quickly enough. It was a great joy, it was a great honor, great privilege being with our folks in St. Martin on Saturday night, and then in Antigua on Sunday night. It was awesome. And obviously, these patriots of Dominica overseas get it. They understand the difficulties that their country has been through. They understand how unnecessary it is because of where they're living, the circumstances of where they're living and how things are so much better there. And that things could be as good there, probably even better in Dominica, if we had the right kind of governance in the last 20 years.
I see you're very moved by the young man, the 19-year-old Lennox. You even gave him a hug.
Well yeah. It was just in the moment there. You see, when somebody rises to make a contribution, and it is not the ordinary, normal, you know, clear, intelligent question. Mm-hmm. It goes deeper than that into a passionate articulation of what is wrong and what needs to be set right, and to see where it's coming from. We spend a lot of time talking about the apathy among young people and so on. And so when that comes at you as forcefully as it did to me in Antigua on Sunday night, I was really moved. And this young man is not the only one. There are a number of young people in Dominica, outside of Dominica, who, based on their knowledge and their understanding of affairs, of governance in the Caribbean and around the world, they know that something has gone horribly wrong in Dominica, why there's so much unemployment, why there's so much struggle to prosper, so much struggle to do better in Dominica, while it is so much easier in neighboring countries. We are so much more blessed than them, but so much less prosperous. All because of the quality of governance that we've had in the last 20 years. And so the sentiment for change among the young people is rising, and rising fast. And we feel it every day.
Lennox Linton, we'll see you tomorrow at the news conference.
Yes, Matt. That news conference is going to be a very important news conference. We will review the situation regarding the missing $1 billion, $1.2 billion. And we will articulate, share with the people of Dominica a way forward as we try our best to force this government to do the right thing, or to get the authorities wherever they are to assist us in getting the right thing done, which is bringing back the money of the people of Dominica to the service and to the benefit of the people of Dominica.
Lennox Linton, good afternoon to you.
Thank God.
The next here is the DSL Hour. Stick around.
Valfair presents Saturday Madness. Travel decent every Saturday to Guadeloupe and pay only $150 EC. Messieurs, mesdames, sans second dollar biwi. Valfairy, Eskezok Avini Fou, $150 every Saturday. Departing the Rosa Ferry Terminal at 6 a.m. Departing Portsmouth at 7 a.m. Whether it's for the weekend getaways or extended vacations or business, or just special appointments. Offer exclusively for departure on Saturdays. Contact our offices to book your space. Timal Upepa Machesa.
Tune in to the Global View on Q tonight from 8 p.m. with former Attorney General Bernard Wiltshire and host Mr. G. Tonight's topic is the big picture for Dominica and Dominicans. Here are some sub-themes that we will explore together. Who are we? What kind of people do we want to be now and in the future? What are our assets? What is the resource foundation of our economy? What does the world want or need from us? What is our current situation in terms of local, district, and national community? How do we build optimal local, district, and national community? How would we want Dominica to be distinguished and stand out? What is in our natural environments that is uniquely important to us? Why must we develop a national purpose in the world? Is such a sense of national purpose important for development of the national community? And can we use it as an organizing principle in our search to secure our livelihoods? What will it take to secure the well-being and future of our youth? And can we afford not to do so? Is our current constitution fit for achieving these purposes? Is poverty and inequality hindering any new national revival? Is there a slogan that can best summarize a complete vision for Dominica? What can be our new concept of national community? Are cooperation and inclusiveness key pillars to our future? Are resilience, adjustments for climate change, environmental responsibility, and economic equity indispensable development pillars for small island developing states like Dominica? Is the local justice system conducive to our well-being as a people? How do we effectively deal with all forms of crime, including public crimes? You don't want to miss the Global View on Q tonight from 8 p.m.